For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Shope.
You might be mocking me or you might be staunchly agreeing with me. I can't tell.
I'm mocking you.
And the Bulldog.
What is Fozzie Bear's role in this production?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Okay, this will probably sound old, but really, Ireland was pining for some Florida State, Georgia Tech college action? Not even Notre Dame? Notre Dame's been over there.
No.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like they do this every year now.
Is this the Pac-10 now? Florida State, Georgia Tech? I don't even know. Is that the MAC? What is that?
The Pac-10 doesn't exist.
Is that the ACC?
Or the Pac-12?
It couldn't be the ACC, could it?
I don't know. I saw a map, and like an interactive map at ESPN.com earlier this week that was sort of, here's your college football explainer. And I started in on it. And like it was one of these deals where the pages all like you'd scroll and like if you press the insignia of one school, then like a little thing pops up and it tell you about them. And I am my dad trying to program a VCR right now. This is too cumbersome. I don't know where any of these schools are anymore. And this interactive thing is. It's hurting me.
At least you can walk away and not have it be that your kids need you to figure out how to program the VCR, and it's just like you hate life. At least you don't have to know what conference Stanford's in anymore. Like that, you can live without knowing that.
Yes, I can.
Tyler Dunn, as far as I know, will not be attending Florida State, Georgia Tech tomorrow afternoon in Dublin. If he were, and he's not there yet, he might want to get going. He joins us now on the Wester Hotline, golongtd.com. Tyler, how has your summer been?
Summer's been great, fellas. I was just going to say, if anybody is heading to Ireland, do not kiss the Blarney Stone. My grandpa has made many a trip, and apparently all the locals, they head over to the stone and pee on it when the tourists aren't around. So,
oh, no.
Just a word of warning. If you have kissed it, maybe, you know, see a doctor. But how long before we get a game in Saudi Arabia, by the way? I saw Saudi Arabia. They got all that money. At what point does our souls just sold and we just start, you know, getting in bed with people like that?
Aren't we? Isn't the Close. League on the edge of that? Like, I feel like we're right there. Like they're trying to clear hurdles to allow that type of investment in the league. I think, right?
I think so. I mean, why not? The league and basically all media companies are already in bed with, you know, gambling companies, and lives are being ruined. So let's just ramp it up a notch. Why not? Let's just crack some deals with the Saudis and everybody can be happy.
You sound like you're ready for week one. I am. I'm so ready for week one.
One more week of preseason is just too much, isn't it?
I know.
We're all kind of pushed to the edge here.
Do you think they go to 18 games next year?
I think so. I mean, it seems like it's already playing out in the public, right? Like the players' union is going to quietly ask for some things, and the league is going to always kind of hold that extra game, and it's going to happen. It absolutely is going to happen, and you know, eventually there'll probably be no exhibition games and just these joint practices, and they'll get to, 20 games at some point. There's just too much money to be had.
You probably went to a couple of the joint practices, I would think. I feel like we're talking about the Bills and the Steelers, and you know it gets physical. It's not better than the game, but it maybe serves more of a purpose than the actual game does. I mean, they're not selling tens of thousands of tickets to these practices, and that matters. The money matters, but I don't need the games if the practices seem like they might be more meaningful.
Oh, without a doubt, Mike. I mean, if you were to get any of these coaches in an honest moment, they would say they would much prefer the joint practices over any of these preseason games. And, you know, I don't want to just be a total curmudgeon. These are great opportunities for families to get to a pro football game.
Yep.
Like, it'll be so cool to have all these kids that, you know, at Highmark Stadium, a chance to watch the Bills in person. There's a lot of good that can come out of a preseason game. But they're all these rosters are pretty much set. I mean, there might be one or two spots up for grabs for teams, and they get way more accomplished in the joint practices. I was at the Browns and the Vikings, and I just missed the Lions and the Giants.
Ooh.
But the Lions and the Giants is interesting, I think, because a year ago, it sure sounds like Dan Campbell's crew just beat the snot out of the Giants, and the Giants maybe were kind of tapping the brakes a little through OTAs, minicamp, training camp, trying to be a little careful with injuries. And man, they weren't careful this summer. When I was out there, it was a ton of 11-on-11 in the 95-degree heat. No 7-on-7 glorified checkdown drills. But Brian Daboll ramped it up this summer. And then they were able to kind of go toe-to-toe with the Lions. So I think that's where the purpose is served. You're able to kind of condition the body for contact if that's what you want, and maybe get some one-on-one matchups you otherwise wouldn't. At Vikings-Browns, it was really interesting to see those Browns corners just shut down the likes of Justin Jefferson. Man, that secondary is so good. So, yeah, I mean, there were no fans in the stands for those ones in Cleveland, but I think the Browns and the Vikings both got a ton more accomplished in that setting than an exhibition game.
Tyler, seeing as we're here, we'll certainly get to the Bills here for the bulk of this conversation, but you mentioned Daboll and having seen the Giants and the Lions in these joint practices. You gotta read on how things are going in New York, because, I mean, the Hard Knocks stuff, they obviously wanted to replace Daniel Jones. I don't know how that doesn't have some effect on the kid's, you know, psyche, his confidence level, the big investment in the receiver, but Daniel Jones still, like, we're not going to have a $40 million quarterback hand off to a $12 million running back. That's a line that is going to live forever, probably, on Joe Shane. How do you think that's going? Like, could Daboll be in trouble there at all?
Well, man, you must be reading my mind, Chris, because I have a little New York Giants series at Go Along this coming week. So thank you for the opportunity. But
let's go.
Yeah, spent a lot of time around Joe Shane, Daniel Jones, Shea Tierney, several players, Devin Singletary, Bobby Okereke, and chatted again with some scouts that have been let go. And man, there's a lot to unpack with this team. I'll just say this. I think that their problems, and this is something that the locals here in Western New York can relate to, ran so much deeper than anything on the field. With Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge and everything that the Giants had behind the scenes, it was way worse than you could even realize. I called a scout who had been there close to four decades and was let go by Gettleman. So, of course, he's not a fan of Gettleman, but he had a good sense for how things were run with the previous GM, and also has scouted on the road alongside Joe Shane. And he's like, man, I don't miss it one bit. And if I had the chance to see Dave Gettleman, I'd probably just punch him in the face. So it was bad. I mean, this is the challenge Joe Shane had. And they had no money to spend, barely any talent. And I think that they knew it would take a long time. I mean, this is year three. And by now, this is when you need to see that turn. You need to see progress. And look, they only had like five or six players still on the team they inherited. They've turned over that roster a ton. They could finally sign some players. It might seem like you're making excuses for Daniel Jones, but this is the most talent he's ever had around him. And I think he recovered from the ACL remarkably well, better than Joe Shane and Brian Daboll even expected. That's why they were looking at some of those quarterbacks primarily. And yeah, Jones is mad. We all saw Hard Knocks, and if you didn't, you should. I've always been a Hard Knocks skeptic and kind of down on the fact that it's just music and montages. There was real football in that Giants Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
You saw it. But Jones, he was upset. I mean, he told me flat out it was not enjoyable to watch. I'm going to use it.
Yeah.
And I think that they kind of knew it'd piss him off a little. They didn't pick up his option when they first arrived. So they kind of know what they're doing there. But you can talk yourself into the Giants competing this year. I think that this is a roster with depth finally. I think the defensive line is going to be really good. And Malik Nabers looked unbelievable at the practices I saw, and it seems like the ones I wasn't at as well. So I think they find a way in the NFC to get to the playoffs.
Really? That's a bet worth making then. Like the Giants, I don't know what their over-under is, but it wouldn't be above 8, probably. I'm not questioning you. I just feel like that's an opportunity if you were so inclined to bet them to make it, because that'd be plus money. Good stuff. Tyler Dunn with us, golongtd.com. The Bills, the whole summer, I'm guessing no. I mean, we've talked a lot, and more of our conversations have been about wide receiver than any other position by far. Not even including the Diggs trade. I mean, we were already having these conversations before they made that move. Do you feel like they have it figured out? I kind of look at it and by their actions, you know, trying new guys last week, bringing in new people, they feel to me like they don't. But that's what they should do if they don't know exactly how they want to line up here. What do you think happens?
I hear you. I mean, if you see any team dumpster diving, right, for guys that retired, it's probably not a good sign. You know, that wasn't the plan. But it is good. At least they're trying. I mean, you better find some bodies. I think a lot of it has to do with injuries too. I mean, it looked like Marquez Valdes-Scantling's neck in the moment was a lot worse than it actually turned out to be. So, you know, that's some good news there. It sounds like he'll be back sooner than initially thought. I guess two thoughts. Like on one hand, and we probably got into this after the last Chiefs playoff loss. I don't know if, you know, any ideals of power rushing are going to work. And if you were to just nickel and dime your way down the field with 4 and 5 yard passes, it just wouldn't fly. It's a big play league, and you've got the best quarterback this side of Patrick Mahomes. If that's the plan, I'm not saying it is, it's not going to win you 3-4 straight games in the playoffs. And that's kind of what Tiki Barber was saying about the Giants. And he's like, man, you know, Saquon Barkley was amazing, but you've got to move on from him. You need neighbors. You need to press it downfield. But I don't really think you got to be concerned that's where the Bills are going. I mean, Josh Allen is just too good. They know he's an unbelievable talent in his prime. I just feel like he'll figure it out. And the concerns are real, right? I mean, they're going to miss Stephon Diggs, especially early on. Diggs is going to light it up in Houston. Everything you hear down there is that he's the number one guy. He's going to work in the slot. C.J. Stroud and him have hit it off, and I'm sure it will be a hot topic for us all through September and October as the Texans are lighting it up and the Bills are kind of going through it. But I think by November, by December, Keon Coleman will kind of figure things out. You know, Curtis Samuel will play a big role. Dalton Kincaid probably leads the team of targets. There's more than enough here for the Bills to score points and do it explosively. I just think probably, and then Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott probably know, it's going to require patience because it is a completely new offense. I mean, they are reinventing this team around Josh Allen.
I'm not sure how much time you've spent around them, Tyler, but I'm curious for your take on just how much of an effort there seems to have been made to talk about how different it is. The vibes, we're closer now, we're hanging out in the dorms and playing board games, Settlers of Catan, and just different stuff. I wonder how much of that feels like a reaction to whatever friction there was perceived to be while Diggs was still here.
Yeah, it's real. I mean, everybody's kind of talking around it, right? I feel like there had to have been a smoking gun, you know, an incident, something we don't know that kind of, you know, pushed Brandon Bean to that point of trading him. Because we've talked about before, and God, I think I said this to Brandon himself when we sat down, like they could have just told Diggs, oh, you want out?
Tough.
Too bad. You're going to play.
Right.
You're under contract. And if you really don't want to play for this head coach, be our guest. And I don't think Stephon Diggs sits out games, misses paychecks. He loves the sport too much. So something kind of nudged in that direction. And it probably is what you're talking about. I think that, you know, they wanted to create a leadership vacuum. And they wanted maybe Josh Allen to step into that mm-hmm. role a little bit more. He's never been the type to just ball up a fist, you know, and slam the table and demand anything. I mean, that's just not his personality. Everybody who knows him says that. And maybe he should at times, especially with these playoff losses. say things got to change, but that's just not him. I think that kind of removing Diggs from the equation can organically push him to that place a little bit. I think that's their hope. Because, and this isn't a knock on Diggs either, he was everything the team needed at that time. You know, they were a good team that wanted to be great, 2019 to 2020. They needed Diggs getting in guys' faces. I mean, and sitting down with Joe Shane, he kind of relived that all and said, like, he had an edge to him, like Steve Smith had an edge to him when I was in Carolina. Mm-hmm. And that's why they kind of went with Malik Nabers. You want that out of that position. At least you should. I just think it kind of ran its course. And then there's the financial stuff they get into, eating all that money in 1 year, freeing yourself up the next. But I think at the end of the day, what you're kind of hitting at, Chris, is all true. They want to somehow reinvent this team on the field, but also off it.
Tyler Dunn, our guest. I was texting with you about Michael McCambridge joining Golong TD, writing about Kansas City as a team trying to be the first ever to win three straight Super Bowls and other teams over the years that have won two in a row and failed to win three. I'm familiar with him through the Full Color Football series on the AFL, and I know you and I are both big fans of America's Game on NFL Network, and maybe he's a part of that, or he's written a book with that title. Hoping to get connected with him next week on the Chiefs and maybe more on that partnership if you want, Tyler. But what from that, like, have you heard or read that sort of makes them either the team that can actually do it, or maybe instead why they're more like other teams that have come up short?
Man, I can't recommend Michael McCambridge's book, America's Game, enough. It's unbelievable. That was definitely what kind of got us through those first few months with our firstborn, Ella. I mean, just being up all night. And I've always been the young, ignorant, you know, observer, consumer of the sport when it comes to the 50s and 60s. And I'm sure there's one of those top 10s out there where I'm, like, mocking players in the 50s for being, you know, shoemakers and bakers on the side. But he made me do a 180. I have a whole new appreciation for all things NFL, any era. So, please, everybody, do yourself a favor. Buy his book. Read his series that go along. It's incredible. He kind of slips you into the time machine, and you go back and you see how these eight teams that have gone back-to-back, you know, all the problems that they ran into that third year to try to win a third Super Bowl. This is a Super Bowl era. You know,
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Teams that have won three in a row, but never in the Super Bowl era. There are so many things that can prop up. You can lose a star player. You can have your owner and your coach clash, like the Cowboys had. Gosh, I mean, even like the Dolphins back in the 70s had some of their best players just sign with a fledgling league.
Yes,
Larry Zonka. It's unbelievable how things can just kind of go wrong. But I think number one, it's hard to get yourself up to climb the mountain again, to climb Everest again. There's just so much that goes into an NFL season, from OTAs to minicamp to camp to the season. You're gonna face adversity, but I feel like if any team can do it, it's the Chiefs, because they still have the nucleus of talent in Mahomes, Kelce, Chris Jones. They lost a few players, but they've got Mahomes, and there's just something about this team in the big moment where they psych out the opposition. And, you know, Belichick would kind of have that effect too. I know they never won three in a row, but he could just play these mind games with the other coach. Think about Mike Martz in that Super Bowl. It was like he just paralyzed one of the best coaches in the game. And, you know, maybe Spygate had something to do with it. But he just gets inside your head. Now, Seth Wickersham's book is another great one. You know, it's better to be feared. And he kind of gets into that. I feel like the Chiefs have that effect, but it's Mahomes. There's something about the quarterback where you fear him. Like, even if Tyler Bass makes that kick, and, you know, it's been a much-discussed topic all offseason, does anybody think that Patrick Mahomes doesn't go right down the field? It's just, you give him any time, you just expect him to piece together that drive unless Kadarius Toney's lined up offside. So there's something psychological there that he has working. He's Michael Jordan in his prime. I think that they very well could do. I'd still take the field, for sure.
Yep.
You know, it's the NFL. There's so much parity. So much can go wrong. But he's unbelievable. It's hard to appreciate him here in West New York. I get it. But this is going to be the best player who has ever played the sport when it's all said and done.
Just sitting here with images of Xavier Worthy running free behind secondaries dancing through my head as you're talking about how awesome the Chiefs are and their opportunity to three-peat. And, of course, we've got the Bills piece of that to live with and stew in. It, you know, if it comes to that, I know it's just preseason, but still.
Yeah, and you know what, though? It's I still love what Brandon Bean did. Right? You can't be afraid. I think that's part of it, too, is – you know, a team like the Chiefs can psych you out in that moment in the draft and force you to step outside of yourself and maybe draft a player just because you're terrified of them. And the fact that Brandon Bean didn't flinch and they didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't think Xavier Worthy fit into this offense and they weren't going to draft him. They probably knew the Chiefs would and they didn't care, right? Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Do your thing. I think that's you can kind of flip the table. And maybe do your own thing. I think that's important as well. And now you need the coaching to follow that, right? You can't be afraid of the Chiefs those 3 hours on a Sunday. Maybe you don't call the fake punt to DeMar Hamlin. Maybe you put the ball in Josh Allen's hands on fourth down. I think that's the next step for the Bills. When you get back into that moment, play to win. And Sean McDermott has kind of changed his tune publicly in talking through these terms. Play to win. Don't be afraid. And, yeah, for one game, one moment, they can still be had. They can be had.
Love it, Tyler. Always great to chat with you. Anything more we should know about GoLongTD.com before the season starts?
Absolutely. Yep. People can subscribe. We're going to have a Bills feature next week, I believe. I did spend some time around the team early on in training camp, so we'll have a profile there, that Giants series I referenced, and then a piece on the Cleveland Browns as well, which – man, aren't the Browns crazy? That front office might have done the best job and the worst job all at once. Like, the roster is loaded, and yet you also might have executed one of the worst trades in NFL history. So looking forward to diving into that as well.
Jets, not too different. I'm not sure it's the worst trade ever, but the Jets are sort of hinging on Rodgers, all these good players around him. The Browns, kind of the same vibes. Very good, Tyler. Enjoy your weekend.
Hey, you guys too. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you, always. Tyler Dunn, GoLongTD.com. We've talked a little bit today about best and worst moments at the stadium. Two more years for the stadium. 803-0550 if you want to jump in on that or just talk about the season ahead. We'll look for your calls next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Let me ask you something here. If you're Shane Steichen, best case scenario, Anthony Richardson, he lives up to what we all hope he can do. Running, throwing, he's healthy. This team has a great year, and he's a superstar, right? What if he struggles? What if he has a good drive or a good game, and then a bad game, a good game, and then a bad game? He's a pick. Everybody's kind of expecting him to be the guy. You got a guy like Joe Flacco with the roster they have. I just wonder how you handle that if it goes down that path. If you're Shane Steichen, because you know what you're going to get in Joe Flacco.
Picks? Is that what he means? Interceptions? Yeah, you know what you're going to get. Do you want it? Kirk Herbstreit on Amazon.
I know the man knows a lot about football, but I swear that entire commentary to me, I heard that last night, before I went to bed. I think that was already making the rounds on social media.
Never go to bed angry.
So I saw it, I heard it, and I thought, that just sounds like a person who's not, doesn't follow the league or follow the Colts, like know what the Colts are doing. And I'm saying that as I know he's doing their game. Like, I wonder if he's on the same the same schedule as everyone else who does that job, or at least how I perceive most people to do that job, right? Roll into town on Thursday or Friday, production meeting with the coaches, and then it's up in the booth, and like, here you go. I'm gonna reframe a bunch of stuff that they told me and talk about who they like and who they don't like and whatever. So, like, on one hand, I think, like, did someone in the Colts organization put a bug in his ear about that? Or does he just fly in for the game on a private plane and get limoed to the stadium and just walk in the booth and put on a tie? Like, he sounds like he has no idea what he's talking about the Colts. They will never take that guy out, I don't think. And also, are they so ready-made? Like, are they like the perfect beast or something that they would have to pivot to a guy who looked like he was retired last year at this time? I don't know. The whole thing just kind of boggles my mind.
That's 2 points, and I especially agree with the second one. I mean, any team, though, Richardson is, I'm excited too. He's so unproven that you could get there. I mean, do you do it for Joe Flacco? Do you do it even this year? I don't know. I agree with the second point. They're not the Browns or the Jets, like we were just talking to Tyler Dunn about.
Right.
The Colts are not those teams. They're not perfect, I think. Offensive line might be bad, and that's not good for Richardson, but you can't make that investment and... What is he talking about? 10 games into the guy's career, pull him for Joe Flacco? I mean, that's just crazy. So, no. Like, what if the Colts aren't just hammered, they go all year with Richardson and see where it takes them. And then next year, you know, maybe you are talking like this.
Yeah, that's what I think. It's just early to get to they could have a problem here if the guy who's barely played 4 games in the league struggles at all. Like, you should be bracing for that, I think. You should be expecting that as the organization. And that's what you do when you make that investment in that pick. Now, they don't get as much runway as they used to, right? Here's where I reference EJ Manuel getting kicked to the curb after 14 games. 10 is rookie year because of injury. And then 4 games into year two, that's the end of the line for you. Sorry, kid. Like that, and it's even more accelerated than that even now, because that's already 10 years ago. But I cannot, a top pick like that, you're just going to have to live with the lumps and hope it gets better, and that next year maybe you're ready to take flight and really go get it with him as your franchise quarterback.
He just turned 22 in May, so Richardson is young even for his status in the league going into season number 2. Eric is with us. Hi, Eric.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Fantastic. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Hey, Bulldog, I don't know if you remember me. We've been to many an Uncle Ben's Remedy and Leroy Towns band show.
Excellent.
Over the last 2 years.
Well, maybe I'll see you out at the Cowboy at the Lake tomorrow night for UBR. All right, good.
I'm definitely going to be there.
Good.
So getting in on this conversation, I've been listening all day about the best moments at the stadium. I've been going to games for probably 3 decades now. And it definitely comes down to the same two that many others have said, the 51-3 victory over the Raiders and the perfect game against New England. And it's been a real tough one. I've been listening to everybody's thoughts. And for me, I got to go with the New England game. Just, I don't know if I really appreciated the 51-3 game as much because I was a teenager and it was all almost expected at that point. We were just getting better and better. And it was a great party and atmosphere. But the New England game, it's just this big monkey getting it off your back. And, I mean, I remember pinching myself numerous times during that game and looking at everybody around us. Is this really happening? There's Belichick down there. We're just slaughtering him like this. So between the two, I got to give the nod to the New England game just for that reason. It was just such a moment.
Yeah. Solid job, Eric. Thank you for calling. I look forward to hopefully catching up with you tomorrow. It's funny, like, a part of me, like, it's a fine candidate. I haven't gotten all the way there today because I sort of feel like, well, it was the year before that we made him throw the phone, and, like, we had sort of put them over there. But that's only a year later, you know? It's not like we were done, and Mac Jones was new, and we didn't know how good he'd be. And so I think putting him down like that again in the playoffs does meet the it was very satisfying, even though, again, like, for me, the moment where you feel like I've killed this guy off was when he threw the phone on that Monday night game the season before. But I don't know, sometimes you can just keep killing the villain and it feels great.
I get it. I like wins that it where it has more. There's more at stake for the team you beat. And that's a wild card game. I mean, that's a wild card game involving a Patriots team that was just okay. It's good for all the reasons you said. I hope the caller is warm enough now from having been at that game.
Right.
So it's fine. It checks all those boxes. But it's better when it's not exactly the same conversation. We're just talking about the stadium, but beating Marino's teams. When a Super Bowl appearance is at stake, and everybody's talking about, this was in Miami, but everybody's talking about, oh, I guess because they think he's an idiot or that people are idiots, oh, he probably thought he would go to 10 Super Bowls because he went to one and didn't go back. Well, I mean, it's hard to get there. And here it was, they're on their home field with that on the line against the Bills team. They were last year's Bills. Like, that Dolphins team is last year's Bills facing Kansas City. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, want to do this again? Let's
now
do this
or never.
Again.
Right, yeah.
And it's like it's my cousin Vinny where he keeps showing up at the bar to collect that money. And they go, I'll come back tomorrow, I get whatever it is. Like, I'll just be here and I'll take your money. I don't know, does that comp work? But that's not a home game, but... I mean, AFC Championship is not the wild card. And whether this point exactly applies to the 90 Raiders, I don't know. But, you know, this game is everything. And to win it, you've made history. And the Bills made history that night by not ever punting and just sort of not ever being stopped, but not by winning a wild card game. You know, the history change, the history with the Patriots makes that more profound. But I mean, I wasn't there. But I would have a tough time picking that one. I'm sure it was amazing. We watched it, too. Makes a lot of sense. Paul is next. Hi, Paul.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Hey, I've been at so many of the great games at that stadium, but I'm a little older than you, Bulldog. I'll go back to the 80s season, man. It was magical there when we beat the Dolphins. And, Mike, you were talking earlier about the goalpost being torn down. That was the first time it got torn down, and everybody passing it up to Ralph's box, and we broke the streak. It was unbelievable. And a game people forget about that year, Chris, you might remember, they beat the Rams in overtime 9-6, and or 10-7, I think, 10-7. And they do a conga line.
Yeah, yeah.
That game?
I was there.
Oh, my God, what a great game. I don't think people remember that because it wasn't on TV, right? It was blacked out.
Yeah.
Great game. But to go back to one of the other points, one of the worst games was in 79 when Dempsey misses in a 9-7 game on the last play of the game.
Mike was at that time, too.
I was there, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's not that much younger than me, Paul. He's not that much younger than me.
I was seven.
Twice now today, I've gotten the age thing with I'm not as old as you, but he's not that much younger.
I was 7 years old at that game. So go on, please, Paul.
I'm older. Like I said, that game, I tell people all the time, we didn't have the weather. Like, you know, we walked in there with shirts and T-shirts, cotton, and the second half bombed rain. I've been at the Patriots' perfect game. That opening game was colder in that Patriots game because we were freezing. It was 55 rain, and we were in cotton T-shirts and shorts. But
that was the time.
I wanted to bring up that 80s game, man. That
good deal, Paul.
Was fantastic.
Thank you, Paul. I guess I want to say, being at that game in 1979, my first time at the stadium, everybody's in fluorescent, you know, ponchos.
Right.
Yellow, orange, pink, blue, like everybody's wearing essentially garbage bags to try to, you know, stay dry. I think it was a futile attempt, but like I'd never seen the stadium in person, and I'm sure that was indelible, like just sort of the colors mm-hmm. in the crowd on such a rainy day. There's gray skies. Thank you, Paul. We need a break. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR. Ray LaMontagne, let's squeeze in another call here before we get to the top of the hour. Zach is with us. Hi, Zach.
Nope.
No Zach.
Zach disappeared.
That's how this ends? That's how this hour ends? Come on.
Sometimes it's just how it be.
I'll be here next week. Bulldog will not be. I'm just sort of, I don't know, bracing myself. Of course, the starters are not playing tomorrow for the Bills. If they don't score a touchdown, we're probably going to hear some Allen should have played more. And then especially if we get into the regular season
mm-hmm.
and they don't look sharp, which is, you know, kind of common when a season starts. That's what this could be. That happens every year, you know, whenever if a team starts, the Bills start slowly,
yep.
it comes back to what they should have done differently in the preseason. I'll probably want to head that off, but we could get it next week. The cuts are next week, and we've got a few guests scheduled, including the chance at a couple of Bills players that I'm hoping to get on the show in your absence. So
I hope that works
out. That's coming up. Coming up right now is our chat with John Daigle, Establish the Run, some fantasy advice, but really just good football analysis on certain of the Bills' skill position players and others. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the Free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.